بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. سأقضي معكم وقتا أتكلم فيه على أهمية الدعوة وعلى الصفات التي ينبغي أن تتوفر في الداعية. أما بالنظر لأهمية الدعوة، فإن الله سبحانه وتعالى قال في محكم كتابه: ومن أحسن قولا ممن دعا إلى الله وعمل صالحا وقال إنني من المسلمين، ولا تستوي الحسنة ولا السيئة، ادفع بالتي هي أحسن، إذا الذي بينك وبينه عداوة كأنه ولي حميم. وما يلقاها إلا الذين صبروا وما يلقاها إلا ذو حظ عظيم. وإما ينزغنك من الشيطان نزغ فاستعذ بالله إنه هو السميع العليم. في هذه الآيات بين الله جل وعلا مكانة الدعوة، وهذه المكانة هي أنها وظيفة الرسل، فجميع الرسل الذين أرسلهم الله إلى عباده من أولهم إلى آخرهم محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وعددهم 310 رسولا، منهم من قصه الله جل وعلا في القرآن، ومنهم من لم يذكره في القرآن، كما قال تعالى: منهم من قصصنا عليك ومنهم من لم نقصص عليك. فهؤلاء الرسل كانت وظيفتهم هي الدعوة إلى الله جل وعلا، يدعون إلى توحيد الله جل وعلا، وإلى التحذير من الشرك، ويدعون إلى عبادة الله وحده من صلاة وصيام وزكاة وحج وعمرة وغير ذلك، مع أن الله جل وعلا يبعث كل رسول إلى قومه خاصة، وقد يوجد رسولان في وقت واحد كما وجد إبراهيم ولوط. أما محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم فكانت رسالته عامة للإنس وللجن، والمقصود أن كل رسول أرسله الله جل وعلا فقد أمره بالدعوة إلى الله جل وعلا، وذلك باتباع أوامره واجتناب نواهيه. ولهذا قال جل وعلا في هذه الآية: ومن أحسن قولا ممن دعا إلى الله، يعني أن الشخص الذي يدعو إلى الله جل وعلا يكون في مرتبة عالية بالنظر إلى أنه يدعو إلى الله جل وعلا. ثم قال جل وعلا: ومن أحسن قولا ممن دعا إلى الله وعمل صالحا. فقوله جل وعلا من دعا إلى الله، هذا من جهتي نفع الناس، ولا بد من جهتي نفع الناس. يكون هذا الشخص قد تعلم العلم ويكون داعيا إلى هذا العلم ويكون عاملا به، يكون عاملا به. ومن أحسن قولا ممن دعا إلى الله وعمل صالحا وقال إنني من المسلمين، يعني أن الشخص يكون متعلما ويكون عاملا بهذا العلم ويكون داعيا إليه ويكون أيضا مسلما، يعني ما يكون كافرا، ما يكون كافر ولا يكون مشرك ولا يكون منافق، لابد أن يكون مسلما. ثم إن الله جل وعلا بين بقوله ولا تستوي الحسنة ولا السيئة ادفع بالتي هي أحسن، هذا فيه بيان أن الشخص عندما يكون داعية فإنه لا بد أن يناله شيء من الأذى. وإذا نظرنا إلى جميع الرسل الذين قصهم الله جل وعلا وجدنا أن كل رسول من الرسل قد أوذي، والأذى يكون مختلفا، ومنهم من وصل به الأذى إلى أنه قتل. وإذا نظرنا إلى الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم وجدنا أن قريشا يعني اجتمعوا وخططوا للقضاء عليه، وفي هذا يقول الله جل وعلا وإذ يمكر بك الذين كفروا ليثبتوك أو يقتلوك أو يخرجوك، يعني إما السجن أو الطرد أو القتل. ولهذا الداعية لا يهتم بالأذى الذي يأتيه من الناس، لأنه لا بد أن يعمل الموازنة بين الرسالة التي يؤديها وبين الأذى الذي يأتيه من الناس. الحسنة التي يؤديها هذا خير له، والسيئة التي يصبر عليها خير له، فلا ينبغي أن يغلب جانب السيئة على جانب الحسنة، وإنما يغلب جانب الحسنة على جانب السيئة، فيستمر في دعوة الناس إلى الخير، وتكون دعوته عامة، لا تكون خاصة للذكور أو خاصة للإناث أو خاصة لنوع من الناس، بل تكون دعوته عامة كما كان الرسل، فإن الرسل لا يخصصون أحدا بالدعوة، وإنما تكون دعوتهم عامة. ولهذا جاء في القرآن قول الله جل وعلا لأي شيء أكبر شهادة ولله شهيد بيني وبينكم وأوحي إلي هذا القرآن لأنذركم به ومن بلغ. وقال جل وعلا تبارك الذي نزل الفرقان على عبده ليكون للعالمين نذيرا. والعلماء هم ورثة الأنبياء، فإن الأنبياء لم يورثوا دينارا ولا درهما، وإنما ورثوا العلم، فمن أخذه أخذ بحظ وافر. العلماء هم ورثة الأنبياء، الأشخاص الذين يقومون بالدعوة، وبخاصة في هذا في البلاد التي يكون فيها الإسلام غريب. لا شك أن هذا من فضل الله جل وعلا عليهم. قد جاء في الحديث إن الرجل لتكون له المنزلة لا ينالها إلا على بلوى تصيبه، وقد يكون داعية ويبتلى في هذه الدعوة، ولكنه يصبر بالنظر إلى أن المقام الذي يدعو إليه هو مقام عال. ولا تستوي الحسنة ولا السيئة، ادفع بالتي هي أحسن، يعني أن الأذى الذي يأتيك من الناس قابله بالإحسان إليهم.
شكرا. وترجم هذا المقطع يا شيخ، وترجم المقطع يا شيخنا. إيه بس دقيقة يا شيخ، إيه حتى ترجم. إيه جزاك الله خير، جزاك الله خير. سيد الشيخ حفظه الله تعالى، he began by mentioning that indeed I'm going to spend some time with you discussing the affair of ad-da'wah and the importance of ad-da'wah ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that which is, it is important for the da'i to have with him by way of characteristics and sifat. He mentions as far as the ahmiyat ad-da'wah, or as far as the importance of da'wah is concerned, then Allah Azza wa Jal mentions the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ, that who is better in statement than the one who calls to Allah and works righteous deeds and says that I am one of the Muslimin. Then Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, and indeed, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا سَيِّئَةُ, that indeed good and evil are not equal. Repel, يعني, the evil with that which is better, so that the one that has, or there is between you and him enmity, it is as though you are friends. It is as though you are friends. And no one obtains this except for those who are patient, and no one obtains that except those who are given a great amount. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, and if you are affected or encouraged by the shaitan, then seek the refuge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for indeed he is as-sami' al-alim. Indeed he is the all-hearing, the all-knowing. So we said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains in these verses the position of the da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he mentions that this makana, or this status, or this position of the da'wah and the status of the da'wah, it is indeed the wazifa, or the job of all of the messengers. For indeed every single one of the messengers that Allah sent them to a people, from the first of them to the last of them, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they are 310 messengers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned some of them to us, and some of them Allah did not mention to us and did not inform us of. As Allah Azza wa Jal mentions that from them, minhum, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, minhum man qasasnahum alaykum, that from them are those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's cool. From them are those who Allah has informed us of, and from them are those who Allah Azza wa Jal has not informed us of. Therefore, it is important that the da'iyah understands this most important affair. Sheikh mentioned that indeed the wazifa, therefore, of the da'wah, or the job of the caller, is to call to the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to warn against shirk. To call to Allah azza wa jal and to warn against shirk. And likewise that they are oft in establishing the acts of ibadah like salah and zakah and other than that, as the messenger was sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Na'am. So then he mentions that indeed every single one of the messengers called to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and called to that which was important for them. He mentions, and it is possible that occasionally the messengers, that more than one of the messengers or more than one messenger is sent to a people, as was the case with Ibrahim and Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. And he mentioned the affair of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the fact that the messenger was sent to all of mankind, not only to all of mankind, but likewise to the ins and to the jinn, likewise to mankind and to the jinn. And he mentioned that he was sent so that they would follow him, follow his awamir, follow his commands, and stay away from his nawahi, stay away from his prohibitions. And then he mentions the statement of Allah, who is better in statement than the one who calls to Allah. So here he is saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here that the one who calls to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he has a high status or a high level. As Allah mentions, who is better than the one who calls to Allah and works righteousness? So the one who calls to Allah, indeed he has a very high status, as was mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the ayah. And then he mentions, who is better than the one who calls to Allah? Who is better than the one who calls to Allah? And in this part of the ayah, we understand the fact that the da'wah to Allah is for the purpose of benefiting the people. And that is that a person, yani the da'iyah, is one who teaches, and likewise he calls towards that. So, afwan, he's one who learns. He's one who learns, and likewise he calls to that knowledge, and he acts upon that. He learns first and foremost, and he calls to that knowledge, and he acts upon that. Now, then he mentioned the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And he says that I am from the Muslims. So that is that he, the da'iyah, not only is one who learns and calls to and acts upon that knowledge and then calls to that, but he himself is a Muslim. That he himself is a Muslim. That is that he is a Muslim that acts and calls to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So after calling, learning, acting, and calling, likewise, he is a Muslim. Yani that is not a kafir or a mushrik. Rather, he's a Muslim that calls to Allah Azza wa Jal. And then he mentions the statement of Allah and the fact that Allah explains, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا سَيِّئَةُ. That indeed the hasana or the good is not equal to that which is evil. So here in it is a bayan or a clarification of the fact that the individual, if he is a caller, then it is a must that he is going to receive something from other, something from hardship and harm from the people because of his da'wah. He's going to receive harm from the people. But the da'iyah is the one, if one looks and analyzes, the Sheikh mentions, analyzes all of the rusul, all of the messengers, you will find that every single one of them, they were harmed by the people who surrounded them. They were harmed, ya'ani, in the face of their da'wah. And that harm differs, that the harm differs from messenger to messenger, the harm that they received differed. To the extent that some of them were harmed so much that harm reached the extent of al-qatl, or that they were killed. Now, so he mentions. He mentions an ayah wherein Allah Azza wa Jal mentions and informs the messenger that the kuffar, they were plotting and planning against him. That the kuffar, they were plotting and planning against him, either to imprison him, or to expel him from his land, or to kill him. So that was the case with every single one of the messengers, including the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, the Shaykh mentioned it is a must that the da'iyah is going to receive something from harm from the people. But he mentions that the hasana, or the good that da'iyah is giving across and portraying and delivering, that is better for him, that he delivers that, and that he makes that outweigh the harm that he receives from the people. That he doesn't give up da'wah because of the harms that he receives. Rather, he looks towards the hasana, and he gives the weight and precedence towards the hasana and the good that he receives, and he continues in his da'wah. He continues calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being patient upon the hardship that comes from the people. Therefore, the da'iyah likewise is a person whose da'wah is am, his da'wah is general, and it is not specific to any particular type of person, يعني to the men other than the women, or to a particular type of individual, particular nation. Rather, the da'wah of the messenger and the da'wah of the da'iyah is and should be general for all of the people, as was the case with the messengers, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as occurs in the Quran, Allah mentions, قُلْ أَيُّ شَيْءٍ أَكْبَرُ شَهَادَةً, say which thing is greatest in making testimony, يعني drawing testimony, say it is Allah. And then he mentions that this Quran, وَأُنزِلَ إِلَيَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ, that this Quran was revealed to me that I may warn by way of it, وَمَنْ بَلَغْ, I may warn the people by way of it, and everyone that it reaches, and everyone that it reaches, highlighting the fact that the Quran, as it was the case with the messenger and his da'wah, was general for all of the people. Therefore, the da'wah of the da'iyah should be general for everyone. And he mentions likewise the fact that the ulama, the statement of the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the ulama are the warathatul anbiya, the ulama, they are the inheritors of the prophets. For indeed, the prophets do not leave as an inheritance dinars or dirhams, rather they leave ilm, and whoever takes that, then he has taken a great deal. Likewise, he mentions the ashkhas, therefore, or the people who establish the da'wah ila Allah, it is a must that they establish that da'wah generally for all of the people, and that they call everyone to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Na'am. And that he mentions, therefore, that the da'iyah, he persists in his da'wah, and he recognizes the manzila and the position that he has because of that, and that he يعني, is not affected by the things or by the affairs that he faces. تفضل شيخنا.
جل وعلا أن الداعية قد يعترض عليه أحد من الناس فيؤذيه بالقول أو بالفعل، وبين أن هذا الأذى يقابل بالإحسان، ادفع بالتي هي أحسن، فيقابل هذه الإساءة بالإحسان. ثم بين النتيجة التي تترتب على دفع الإساءة بالإحسان، فقال جل وعلا: فإذا الذي بينك وبينه عداوة كأنه ولي حميم، يعني أن هذا الذي آذاك تنقلب عداوته إلى ولاية وإلى صداقة لك، وذلك بحسن معاملتك له. هذه المعاملة هي أنك دفعت الأذى الذي حصل منه عليك، دفعته بالإحسان. ثم قال جل وعلا مبينا أن هذه الصفة وهي مقابلة الإساءة بالإحسان، بيّن أن هذه المكانة وهذه الصفة ما يصل إليها ولا يتصف بها إلا من تحلى بالصبر، فقال جل وعلا: وما يلقاها إلا الذين صبروا. وما يلقاها إلا ذو حظ عظيم، والمقصود بالحظ العظيم هو علو مكانته عند الله جل وعلا. فذكر أن الاتصاف بدفع الأذى عن طريق الإحسان ذكر أن هذه الصفة لا يتحلى بها إلا شخص يتصف بالصبر من جهة ويكون له مكانة عظيمة عند الله جل وعلا، وذلك بما يرجوه من الثواب العظيم. هذا علاج للشخص المؤذي من الإنس، أما المؤذي من الجن فقد قال فيه جل وعلا: وإما ينزغنك من الشيطان نزغ فاستعذ بالله إنه هو السميع العليم. فكما أن الأذى يحصل من بعض شياطين الإنس، فإنه يحصل أيضا من شياطين الجن، فقد يتسلط الشيطان على الداعية فينزغ في قلبه محبة مقابلة الأذى بمثله أو بأشد منه، مقابل هذا الأذى بمثله أو بأشد منه. ولا شك أن الشخص إذا اعتدي عليه فأخذ حقه، فهذا كما قال جل وعلا: وإن عاقبتم فعاقبوا بمثل ما عوقبتم به. وقال جل وعلا: وجزاء سيئة سيئة مثلها. وقال جل وعلا: فمن اعتدى عليكم فاعتدوا عليه بمثل ما اعتدى عليكم. لكن فيه مرتبة أعلى منها، وهو العفو. لا تأخذ حقك ولكنك تعفو، وهذه هي المذكورة في قوله جل وعلا: ولا تستوي الحسنة ولا السيئة ادفع بالتي هي أحسن فإذا الذي بينك وبينه عداوة كأنه ولي حميم. وما يلقاها إلا الذين صبروا وما يلقاها إلا ذو حظ عظيم. وإما ينزغنك من الشيطان نزغ فاستعذ بالله إنه هو السميع العليم. العلاج لشياطين الإنس أنهم إذا آذوك تتحمل هذا الأذى وتصبر وتقابله بالإحسان وتحتسب الأجر عند الله جل وعلا. أما إذا حصل من شيطان الجن نزغ في قلبك لحب الانتقام، فإنك تستعيذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. فهذا يدلنا على أن الداعية يسير في طريق محفوف بالمكاره، بمعنى أنه لا بد أن يؤذى، ولكن عليه أن يصبر وأن يحتسب الأجر عند الله جل وعلا. ويكفي الداعية أن هذه الوظيفة التي يقوم بها هي وظيفة الرسل من أولهم إلى آخرهم، وفيه كتاب مؤلف في هذا الموضوع اسمه دعوة الرسل، اسمه دعوة الرسل. جميع الرسل الذين في القرآن رتبوا وذكرت دعوتهم وذكر ما فيها من الفوائد. أما بالنظر للجزء الثاني من الكلام وهو الصفات التي ينبغي أن يتصف بها الداعية، فقد قال جل وعلا في سورة النحل: ادع إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن. ففي هذه الآية بيان أن الداعية يكون عالما بما يأمر، يكون عالما بما يأمر به وعالما بما ينهى عنه، ويكون حكيما فيما يأمر به، ويكون حكيما فيما ينهى عنه، ويكون عالما بما يأمر به، ويكون عالما عاملا بما ينهى عنه. ادع إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة. ومعنى قوله جل وعلا والموعظة الحسنة أن الإنسان عندما يتكلم مع الناس يخاطب الناس بما يفهمونه، ويخاطب الناس بمعالجة الأمور التي يعيشونها. ففيه أمور هم في حاجة إلى تعلمها، إلى أنهم يتعلمونها، مثل مسألة بيان التوحيد وبيان الشرك وبيان الكفر وبيان النفاق، ومثل أيضا ما يحتاجون إليه من الطهارة، كيفية الطهارة، كيفية الصلاة، وهكذا بالنظر إلى مقادير الزكاة، مقادير زكاة الأموال. هذا جانب. الجانب الثاني أن الناس قد تقع نوازل، ويحتاجون إلى معرفة الحكم في هذه النوازل، فيخاطب الناس بحسب ما يحتاجون إليه من جهة تعلمهم أمر دينهم، ومن جهة حل المشاكل، يعني الواقعات التي تقع. وكذلك يسلك معهم مسلك الترغيب ومسلك الترهيب. فمسلك الترغيب يأتي بالأمور التي يكون فيها ثواب عظيم، وينبههم على الأمور التي يعاقب الإنسان عليها. هذا بالنظر إلى الموعظة. أدعو إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن. يعني المقصود من هذا أن الداعية قد مثلا يعترض عليه صاحب علم، فتجري مناقشة بين الداعية وبين صاحب هذا العلم. الله سبحانه وتعالى يقول وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن، بمعنى أنك تتكلم الطريقة العلمية السليمة، ولا تريد الغلبة، ولكنك تريد بيان الحق. فإن كنت مخطئا فإنك تعترف بالخطأ أمام الناس، وإن كنت مصيبا تعتقد الإصابة، فإنك تثبت على هذه الإصابة. في هذه الآية بيان أن الداعية يتحلى بالحكمة، ويتحلى بالموعظة الحسنة، ويتحلى بالمجادلة بالتي هي أحسن، بالإضافة إلى أن تكون عنده نية حسنة، يعني يكون عنده قصد حسن، وهو رجاء ثواب الله من جهة، وكذلك نفع، قصد نفع الناس من جهة ثانية. ويكون أيضا عالما كما ذكرت قبل قليل، يكون عالما بما يأمر به وينهى عنه، ويكون عاملا بما يأمر به وينهى عنه. فإذا جمع الإنسان إذا جمع الداعية بين هذه الصفات فأرجو أن الله سبحانه وتعالى يفتح له قلوب الناس من جهة، وأن الله جل وعلا يأجره من جهة ثانية. وبهذا يكون قد انتهى الكلام. وإذا كان فيه أسئلة عند الحاضرين فلا مانع من الإجابة عنها بعدما تنتهي الترجمة، وبالله التوفيق.
جزاكم الله خير شيخ. نعم. So the Sheikh, he mentions that Allah therefore explains and clarifies the fact that the da'iya, it is possible for him to come across some affairs from the people, that the people may affect him and harm him, either by way of statement or by way of action. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that this adha and this harm that he receives from the people, that he receives that with ihsan, that he deals with it with ihsan, with goodness. And that is, as occurs in the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, repel, idfa' billati hiya ahsan, repel with that which is better, yani repel that which is evil with that which is better. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains thereon after the natija, or the result of the one who does so, the result of the one who repels that which is evil and harmful from the people with that which is better and with that which is ahsan. He mentions, فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ, then you will see that the one who is between you and him adawa, it is as though, you will become as though you are loving friends. You will become as though you are close friends. And he mentions that is that the affair of adawa and enmity that was present between you will become wilaya and will become allegiance and friendship. He mentions that is because the one who repels because of the fact that he repelled that adha, repelled that harm with ihsan, with good. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that indeed this sifa, and describes this sifa, and it is the sifa or the characteristic that a person utilizes or should utilize to oppose the isa'a and the harm that comes to him. Now, and then Allah Azza wa Jal explains and describes the fact that this characteristic, a person does not receive it except the one who yatahalla, or the one who adorns himself with as-sabr. The one who adorns himself with as-sabr. And he mentioned the statement of Allah, وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا, that indeed it is not achieved except by those who sabaru, except by those who are patient. وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ, and indeed it is not obtained except by those who have been given a great portion, those who have with them a great portion. He said the intent behind this great portion is that they have a great lofty status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is because of the fact that they were upon this characteristic and they had this sifa with them, that of repelling evil with that which is good. So the one who has that and he has patience with him, then indeed, as a result of that, he has that great manzila and that high, lofty status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of the fact that he seeks the reward from Allah Azza wa Jal for his patience and for his da'wah. So therefore, he mentions that this is the ilaj or the cure of the one that harms him from amongst al-ins, from amongst mankind. As for the one that harms him from amongst the jinn, from the evil jinn, those who prod him and encourage him with evil, he mentions Allah likewise gives us the ilaj or the cure for him. He said, and as for if you are imma yanzighannaka, that if the shaitan prod you, provoke you to act naturally evilly, then seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for indeed he is all hearing, all knowing. So Allah gives us here the cure for the shaitan and the encouragement that the shaitan may give us to act in a manner that is in opposition to the religion. And that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages us to make the isti'adha, seek the refuge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, because the shaytan may overcome a person, may overcome a da'iyah, and put in his heart that he should oppose the harm that he has received with harm similar to it, or with harm greater than it. Yani, if he is harmed, then the shaytan may encourage him to deal with that harm in a manner that is equal or greater. Yani, so he deals with that in a manner that is more harmful. Na'am. So he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, likewise, no doubt, has mentioned to us in the book of Allah, فَمَنْ اِعْتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ فَاعْتَدُوا عَلَيْهِ بِمِثْلِ مَا اَعْتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ. That indeed, if you are, if somebody transgresses against you, then transgress against them with the likes of that which you are transgressed with, or transgressed against with. So Allah mentions that it is permissible for a person to do so. But the Shaykh mentioned that there is a manzila, or there is a level that is higher than that, and that is manzilatul afu. That is manzilatul afu, the level of afu, which is to pardon and to overlook and forgive. So he mentions against the statement of Allah, فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ, and if the one who is between you and him, animosity and enmity, then you will become, yani, if you repel the good with the evil with good, then you will become as though you were close friends. Now, so he mentions therefore the level that is higher than opposing evil with the like of it is that one pardons and that one forgives and overlooks. Now, so he said therefore that if a person repels the harm with ihsan, then he receives the reward, great reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He receives great reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as for that which comes to him from harm, from the jinn and the shayateen, then he repels that with al-isti'adha. He seeks the refuge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the shayateen. And that points us towards the fact that the da'iyah, or the path of da'wah, is a path that has in it hardships and things that a person dislikes. That the path of da'wah is a path that has in it hardships and things that a person dislikes. But no doubt, this wazifa, or this job and this duty, is the job and the job of the rusul, the job of the messengers, and it was that they faced. Sheikh highlighted and pointed towards a book that highlights the da'wah of the rusul, the da'wah of the anbiya, and it is a book entitled Da'watul Rusul. A book entitled Da'watul Rusul, and if I remember rightly, the author is Muhammad Al-Adawi, if I remember rightly. He mentioned that the book highlights all of the prophet, the prophets and their prophethood, and that which they faced during their prophethood, and the stories of all of those prophets. Na'am. So the Shaykh mentions, therefore, there is another ayah that is related to the sifat of the da'iyah. And that is a statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Nahl, اِدْعُوا إِلَى سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْعِدَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ. Call to the way of your Lord with hikmah, with wisdom, and with good sermon, and argue with them in a way that is better. The Shaykh mentioned that this verse has in it a clarification of some of the characteristics of the da'iyah. And that is that the da'iyah is the one who is upon ilm. And he is likewise the one who has ilm and knowledge concerning that which he calls to, that which he commands, and he has knowledge concerning that which he prohibits. He has knowledge about that which he commands, and he has knowledge about that which he prohibits. And likewise, he is hakim. He is wise and has wisdom with that which he commands, and has wisdom in that which he prohibits. And likewise, he is amil, that he acts upon that which he commands, and he acts upon that which he prohibits. He mentioned the statement of Allah again, call to the way of your Lord with hikmah and with maw'idatul hasana, with wisdom and good sermon, and argue in a way that is better. So he said that the intent behind the good sermon, the maw'idatul hasana, is that a person addresses the people with that which they understand. That he doesn't address them with something that is above them. Rather, he addresses the people with that which they understand. And likewise, he cures the affairs that those people live in, and the affairs that those people experience and face, that he cures those affairs and he aids in their cure. And he mentions that they explain the likes of a tawheed and a shirk, and likewise explaining nifaq and hypocrisy, what it is. Likewise, other affairs like tahara, purification, the affairs of salah, and other than that, prayer, and other than that, he addresses the people with these acts of ibadah and things that are beneficial to the people from the things that the people fall into. Likewise, he addresses them concerning the affairs that are nawazil, yani the affairs that are present and are relative, yani the new affairs that arise that are relative to those people. So he addresses the people, therefore, with that which they need. He addresses them with that which they have need for, from the affairs of the religion and the problems that they face, that they fall into. Now, likewise, in his da'wah, he walks the path of at-targhib and at-tarhib. Of at-targhib and at-tarhib. Targhib, meaning that he encourages the people, and tarhib, that he instills in them fear against doing certain things. Targhib, yani to encourage the people to perform certain actions, and tarhib, the opposite of that, and that is that he instills in them fear of certain things, and of fear of carrying out and doing certain things. Now, therefore, he mentions the da'iyah, or the one who calls to Allah Azza wa Jal, he is upon knowledge, and he is upon ilm. And he said it is on occasions it is possible that he may come across a person of knowledge who may argue with him and debate with him. So it is a must that he has with him something from knowledge. And that is where the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal comes in. وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. And argue with them in a way that is better. He mentions that this jidal, or this argument with them in a way that is better, that is that you speak utilizing the methodology or the path of knowledge. That your speech concerning, as it relates to debates and so on, that you utilize the method of the people of knowledge in speaking and in addressing and dealing with those situations. And that is that you do not intend likewise anything other than the haqq. That you do not intend anything other than the haqq. And if you find that you're mistaken in an issue, that you accept that you're mistaken. And if you find that you were wrong, that you accept that you were wrong. And likewise, if you're upon the sawab, if you are upon that which is correct, that you remain firm upon that correctness. Therefore, the da'iyah is the one who yatahalla bihadhihi al-umur al-thalatha, that he adorns himself with these three things, that in his da'wah he calls and he utilizes hikmah, wisdom. Likewise, that he utilizes maw'idatul hasana, that he uses the good maw'idah and the good sermon, and that he argues, if he has to argue, he argues in a manner that is better. And on top of all of that, he has a good niyyah and a good intent, and that he has knowledge concerning that which he commands, knowledge concerning that which he prohibits. He acts upon that which he commands, and he acts upon that which he prohibits. And that if the da'iyah therefore gathers all of those affairs, all of these aforementioned affairs, he no doubt is the type of individual that we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will turn the hearts of the people towards him, and likewise that he will be from amongst those individuals who will be safe and who will receive salvation. And upon that, the Shaykh mentions that if there are any questions, then we'll put those questions, or we'll receive and answer some of those questions now.